Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. How are you? Today, March 8th, 2022. Somewhat nice day, I suppose. I mean, it's not freezing. It's not warm. Yesterday was hot. You know, it was like uncomfortable yesterday. I was like, what's going on? You know, that moment where you're in the middle of winter, not really in the middle, but sort of at the end of winter, and all of a sudden you're ready to turn the air conditioner on, you know, geez. You'd hope to kind of go, you know, a month at least before the air conditioner goes on. You hate to go right from heat to air conditioning, but man, that's how yesterday was. Luckily, I did not turn the air conditioner on. We opened up windows, and just a beautiful day. You know, a little windy. Usually with warmth, this time of year comes wind, and great day. Got to go have some lunch. Ate over at my buddy Billy Taco Rio. It was very good. Somebody posted, I don't know. You know, someone said to me the other day, I don't understand why people have to take pictures of food and post it. And, you know, I guess I sort of understand the comment, but I'm a person that takes pictures of food. I take pictures of a lot of food. I take pictures of a lot of stuff. But when I go over to my buddy Billy's new restaurant that does quite well. But whenever I go over there, you know, I try to take a picture of the food and post it and, you know, share that I'm enjoying the food. It's delicious. Looks great. You should come try it. And you know, I think that's what we should all sort of do. You know, I said, I just don't take pictures of food because it's beautiful. With one exception, the avocado. I do love a beautiful avocado. And I cut one open the other day. And so if you're a fan of avocado, here, I'm going to tell you how you get good avocados. Buy the hardest avocado that you can find and then let it ripen at your house. Because what happens is everybody goes up and they squeeze them. You know, they push their thumbs in them. And you can clearly tell when an avocado is not ready, right? It's bright green. It's lumpy. It's kind of, you know, it's definitely different. But when they start getting darker and they start smoothing down a little bit, you know, people come up and then they start testing. Like, everybody wants to make guacamole tonight. So they start shoving their thumbs up in them. That's a mistake. What I personally do is I buy, because we eat a lot of avocado. I mean, whether it's on... whether I'm making guacamole or my oldest son, I make him lunch every day. And he's like, you know, he's in cross country. He actually stopped doing cross country. He's now doing volleyball. You know, he's not an athlete, but he's, you know, participating in athletic sports. And I personally like to make sure that he's eating really good food. So I like to make him sandwiches. I usually make him, turkey, roast beef, and I usually slice up half an avocado, shove that thing up in there, and he just, you know, because I like to know that he's fueled up. It's one of the things I think for me, at least, about being a parent is this three experiments that I have that live with us that, you know, what can we do to give them the best opportunity? And one of them is food, right? I mean, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, halt. I mean, I remember when I very first got sober, someone said that to me, you know, cover these bases. I remember Matt was like, go outside, take a walk, drink a lot of water, eat clean food. That is like the foundation for any success, I think. You know, whether it's at work, whether it's in sobriety, whether it's in sports. You know, even in my job, I can definitely tell there's days I come to work and I don't eat enough, or I haven't eaten well and I'm deficient in my food. And I can just, you know, I can feel it. You know, I get anxious and, you know, there's nothing like when you start the day off with, whether it's a nice bowl of oatmeal or some fruit or banana or whatever it is. I don't, you know, I'm not trying to tell you how to eat. I'm just saying, for me, I start my day off a little better when I have, you know, something to kick it off. So the point of all that was that I, you know, I make my son sandwiches and put avocado in it. And I have kind of a rotation of avocados. Like, I'll go to the store, I'll buy 2 hard avocados, just put them on the counter. And then every couple of days, I just go buy a couple more. And then eventually I start to get into a cycle where I can use the avocados. And when an avocado has been ripened by itself on the counter without a bunch of numbnuts shoving their thumbs all up in it, cut it open like I did the other day, and it was freaking beautiful. I mean, just the most beautiful green, just cut it open. Both sides were perfect. A lot of the times when I buy avocados that have sort of sat around and been thumbed, you open them up and they're like, you know, they have brown all in them. And what that brown is when the thumb is pushed into the skin, it allows oxygen to oxidize the avocado. And so that's what that's all about. So, hey, there you go. Start a rotation. Get the avocados in rotation so that you always got some good avocado. So anyway, yeah, I was thinking, you know, everything's been good. You know, interesting time in my life. You know, I know others have gone through stuff like this. I know, you know, young people aren't even concerned. But as far as, you know, a 53-year-old man, you know, it's interesting watching kind of what's going on in the last 3 years, so to speak, you know, between COVID and, you know, all that we went through that. And I say that meaning just understanding, you know, we've changed. I mean, it's not hard to look back, even watching television shows from 3 years ago to how life is today. It's, you know, everybody's on guard, you know, and it's, you know, things have changed. And now we have a war going on, which is insane. I mean, I sort of understand, but just the idea, because all my life, it's always been, you know, we don't want to go to war with Russia. We don't want to, you know, a nuclear war with Russia. It's always been Russia, Russia, Russia. And now Russia's at war, right? And the nuclear thing is really it's a serious issue. And so just kind of watching that, I was sitting on the couch the other night. I don't know, everybody had gone to bed, and I was just watching some coverage, and I just kept thinking, wow, Russia is at war, right? This is like a thing. And so just trying to process that and, you know, trying to stay in the moment. And, you know, every once in a while I get a little nervous, a little anxious, because, you know, that would be strange if we had a nuclear war. I mean, I don't think we would enjoy that. And it's interesting watching people. And I was telling my dad, he was over last night, that, you know, because my dad was in Vietnam, and I was saying the difference this time is that we have so much social media. You know, if you look or have paid any attention or watched any of this, you will see that, like, even the folks inside of Russia are kind of unaware of what's going on because they haven't been, I don't know, and some people are getting the information, some aren't. I don't know anything about that. I don't know much about that kind of stuff. I just know what I see, and it's interesting because people in Russia are unaware, but everybody over here, we know everything, right? And you start feeling bad, and, you know, and it's weird to watch, you know, one side kind of have one position, another have another position, and then, you know, it's like COVID all over again, right? It's like one issue to the next. And, you know, whatever. Good luck. I'm, you know, just keep my mouth shut and hopefully it all works out for the best. But the other thing that happened to me the other night was that I started watching Cops. It was on YouTube. I don't know. We were big fans of Cops. Growing up, I loved Cops. I don't know why. I feel a little bit bad about that now. I didn't really think about it back in the day. I just used to watch it. You know, it used to be interesting. I used to be fascinated by law enforcement and, you know, the daily issues. So, but I used to tape Cops, and I used to tape Saturday Night Live, and of course, I'd be out partying and getting wasted, and then I'd come home and you know, turn on the VCR and watch it back. But so somehow, yes, the other day I got into Cops, and then I started watching. Oh man, I started watching just whether it was law enforcement. I think it was a TV anchor. It was just people, high profile people, getting pulled over for DUI. And oh my God. Every episode that I watched, the person that was drunk being, you know, talked to or arrested, every one of them, I could see me in them. And it is not pretty. You know, I say, others have said, but this is what I believe, that the disease that I have is that is more of a self-centered disease than it is an alcohol disease. Like, if I have a drink, I literally can't stop. To me, that's alcoholism. Like, one person would be like, you know, hey, I've had enough. I'm good. I'm feeling a little tipsy, woo, uncomfortable. And I've had plenty. Where an alcoholic says, nope, I'm going, or for me, this alcoholic, if I have one, I can't stop. That's the issue. But my other issue is that I'm self-centered. I'm very self-centered. And I think about this all the time, and I try to figure out why did I end up like that. And I've said before, I believe we all start off like that. You know, I think it's a way to survive, you know. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, so to speak, and it's the crying kid gets the food, the crying kid gets the changing. And, you know, it's just this natural thing that I think occurs in us, but I think some of us start to consider others. You know, I was saying to my dad, you know, we start off, all we think about is us, and then in the end, all we think about is us, that we know everything, right? I've been there, I've done that. At the end of our lives, we know everything, and nobody can tell us anything. So it's this transition, and, you know, hopefully sometime, you know, early, not too early, but, you know, we start to be considerate. And you can see it in people, and you can see, you know, the opposite in people. And, you know, I was so self-centered, and I didn't even understand it. And I didn't, you know, my behavior, my condescending tones, my, you know, the arguments, the, you know, get a little alcohol and I just cut you down, right? Just my voice and my tongue was like a knife, and I just spewed such hatred and silliness that, you know, it's like, where did all that shit come from? And, you know, I watched these people getting arrested, and first of all, right away, it like reignites this anxiety and pain that I used to be completely full of every day during my drinking, just knowing that something bad was going to happen, you know, something bad. Just when I wasn't expecting it, just when I thought everything was going smooth, something bad was going to happen, because the whole time I had alcohol and drugs weaved inside my story. You know, I was just coming to work this morning, and there was a cop behind me. And kind of aggressive behind me a little bit, you know, sort of close, kind of in an unidentified car, you know, and I have no issues with cops, you know, thank you very much for your service. But, you know, I was like, geez, guy's really like it. I don't know what he was up to, but, you know, I just kept reminding myself, hey, you're not doing anything wrong. You have a license, you have insurance, your car is registered, you're not drunk or on drugs, you're not speeding. You're on your way to work, and you're fine. But still, you know, those from the days in the past where the anxiety, you know, would just riddle me, and the toxicness of myself, and, you know, watching these people, one of the worst guys, and I'm sure he's a nice person, but one of the episodes that I was watching, this was like Cop Watch, or it wasn't even Cops anymore, this was Blue Patrol, I don't know. There's just all these little YouTube channels of people that kind of basically post interactions with cops and people that they're pulling over through the body cameras. And this guy somehow hit a truck. He says the truck hit him. They said he rolled into the truck. Regardless, They show up. This guy is hammered. And the stuff that he says, the arrogance in him is just disgusting. And it just reminded me of myself. I mean, oh my God. I remember when I was living in San Diego and somebody, I was at a bar. And if I've said this story before, I apologize, but I was at a bar and somebody hit my car. And this was the biggest justified move in my mind, which was, fuck that, I'm calling the fucking police. And I was drunk. And I call the police, they show up. And they're like, you know, there's nothing we can do, this is private property. And I'm gonna fucking get you fired. I mean, just the shit that came out of my mouth, I'm still to this day. And that was probably 1989, maybe. And the shit that came out of my mouth that day, I'm still embarrassed about. It still brings me sadness that guy's in there and what I'm capable of saying. And I just watched these people on the show and it just was like me. Every one of us that has this disease, I think inside, has that person that's just so nasty. And I just, you know, and all I kept thinking about was how the next morning, you know, the next morning when it's all said and done, you have to apologize and you feel like shit.
I went up to the mountain because you asked me to. Up over the clouds to where the sky was blue. See, sometimes I lay down, but no more can I do. But then I go on again, yeah, because you ask me to. Some days I look down, afraid I will fall, and though the sun shines,
just can't get over, you know, the fact that alcoholics, me, we have such a mean streak in us. And, you know, just watching these shows reminded me of that. And I just had to, you know, so one hand, I'm grateful that I don't drink, you know, so grateful that the freedom that sobriety has brought me, because I'm able to drive, I'm able to have conversation. I'm able to be confronted. You know, if I have done something, I'm able to be confronted and have a discussion about it. You know, yesterday was a great example. I've talked a little bit. We're building a house, and we're very excited. You know, we've been waiting and patiently waiting. You know, not everyone does that, but we've been patiently waiting, and the house got started. And so, you know, I went by yesterday, and you know, the project manager's like, listen, if you want to look around at the house, you know, just call me and we'll set up an appointment. I'm like, yeah, right, right, of course, right. Mm-hmm. Well, the house isn't up. They're just pouring concrete. So, like, I'm going on over there. And I probably, you know, I like to swing by. My in-laws like to, you know, they're up in Connecticut, and they like to see pictures and stuff. So I like to go by. And so yesterday I was off, and they were pouring concrete. So I went over there, and I'm taking pictures. So excited, right? Whenever you build a house, or the house that we're building, and you know, don't judge me, right? It's just a little house. But when the process starts and you get a house built, you know, they usually, you know, you first of all, you have a sign, you put your sold sign up and all that stuff. And then when it's time to build, you know, this giant wood delivery gets delivered, right? And it's just, you know, all the framing and stuff that goes in, all the wood that goes for the framing and the joists and everything gets kind of bundled up together and then delivered. And on the side of that pile of wood, it's usually, it says, you know, whoever the company is and then what lot it's for. And, you know, we've been waiting for like a year going through the process of this. And we drive through because when we first initially started, there was nothing being built. So now we go through, or we started going through and we'd see a bundle of wood delivered. It's a lot 10. And you're like, oh, son of a bitch. You know, it's awesome. And, you know, our packet of wood got delivered. So I wanted to take a picture. And in the picture, you can see the project manager getting out of his truck because he was going to come over and have words with me because, I don't know, because I guess I don't listen. I don't know. It's hard, right? I mean, whatever. He wasn't mad, but he's like, you know, you just need to understand. You got to be careful if you're going to be around here because I cannot have you getting hurt. And I understand that. But you know, listen, I was a little bit in the wrong, and he approached me about it, and he didn't really say anything, but I could just tell, you know. And I've heard stories about those people, and you know, who you don't want to be those people. So I went by there this morning just on my way here, and I kind of wanted to drive through, but now I feel bad, like I can't go through there. So whatever, we'll get it worked out. But I have to respect the rules, and I do feel like we have been, but you know, he made it clear. You need to be careful. It's a lot of responsibility. But he could approach me. You know, I didn't need to fly off the handle. You know, prior to getting sober, I lived a life of self. And I say that a lot, I know. But self, meaning all that I think about is me. And that's not great. You know, and one of the things when watching these shows is of all these people on these you know, they're getting pulled over, you know, they're all about self. And I don't know if you know anybody like this. I don't know if you're like this, but they're not pleasant people to be around. You know, they make things about them. You know, one of the things when I first got sober, my buddy Matt would be like, you know, you need to learn to listen. You know, I have pre-programmed myself that when somebody says, oh my gosh, you know, my elbow's been bothering me. And instead of being like, oh gosh, okay, what do you, do you have some ideas on what you might do or something? I would say, oh, my elbow's been hurting too. Like I start to make it about me. That's all I know. The idea of sitting and listening is the opposite of self. That has humility. That has compassion. You're thinking of others. You know, and one of my bad habits was I used to take every little topic brought to me from somebody else and turn it and make it about me. And when that was pointed out, now all I do is see it, and it's gross, you know? And it's a fucked up way to live, and nobody likes to participate with people that don't want to participate. And what I mean is if you're not thinking of others, if you're not, you know, being a good friend, equal friend, nobody wants to be around you. You know, they'll tolerate you for so long, but eventually you get weeded out. And that's what this program started to teach me. You know, just the relationship with the higher power. How can you have a relationship with anybody if all you fucking do is think about yourself? What's going wrong? What's going great? Look at me. Look at me. It's good. Look at me. It's bad. And all you do privately is think about yourself. First of all, you're constantly disappointed, right? Zero accountability. Why me, God? And it makes for a miserable existence, and nobody wants to be around that. And then you meet people that are the extreme opposite. All they do is care so much. And you're like, ah, you know, it's like you walk by them. I'm sorry. Am I in your way? It's like, stop that. You know, you have to find a balance about thinking of yourself and thinking of others. But when you're, I know for me, there was no thinking of others. The only time I thought of others is when my ass was in a fucking jam. I wanted something. I needed something. The only thing others had for me was something that I wanted. You know, don't ask me to come help you or volunteer. Am I getting paid? Am I going to get paid in this? What do I get? What do I get out of me helping you? When I finally had that revelation of what a self-centered asshole I was, a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility, it was fucking life-changing. It was life-changing. One of the greatest gifts from this program. I love the first word, we. My whole life had been I. Bill and Bob knew this. They knew we're self-centered assholes. We admitted it's not I. It's going to be us, and we're going to surrender right now. The first word is we. The second word is surrender, because that's what self-centered assholes don't do. We don't think about others, and we never surrender. We kick and fucking scream, and just like watching these people, they fucking kicking and screaming and fighting and crying and boohooing and pleading and begging. You know, this one cop, you know, one of the episodes was this cop got pulled over and he was drunk. He was literally passed out in his fucking car on the side of the road, and the cop found him, thought he was dead. And the cop kept saying that, you know, the drunk cop kept saying, come on, man, you can do something. Do something, man. This is my life. It's like, did you ever consider the fact that you fucking drank alcohol and passed out on the side of the road? No. They only take up from the point where you woke them up. Now you've inconvenienced them. Now it's your fault. That is fucking terrible. You know? And then you wake up the next day and you say, man, I'm sorry about last night. We've all done it. So to have any success for me in this program, I had to start to address that, my self-centered side. That's why I identify as a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. You know, I love to say I'm an alcoholic, but I'm not an alcoholic today. I don't drink alcohol. So the definition of sobriety is to be free of drink. I led a meeting the other night, and I said, you know, I think it's been 3 years since I've... 3 years of continuous serenity. You can't have serenity unless you identify that how much of a self-centered person you are. And don't try to counterbalance it, you know, by all of a sudden now extreme, I think, thinking of others, because that's self-serving as well. You know, I think a lot of people struggle with the relationship with the higher power because, like me, my higher power was about giving me, fixing me, doing something for me. And there's no relationship there. And as a guy that only cares about me, I only care about things that serve me. If it isn't working, I'm not focusing on it. And so today, my relationship with the higher power is one of basically acknowledging that I'm not all that I think I am. Acknowledging that I'm scared. Acknowledging that I can't take care of all this. Because that's what I think a lot of self-centered people do, is they try to fix everything. They try to, you know, they take the burden of life onto their shoulders, and then they become a victim of that. My shoulders aren't big enough to carry all these problems. And as soon as I can have the humility to find that direction and ask those kind of questions and turn that kind of stuff over, do I start to address the self-centered life? and I start to feel better. Because at my worst, at the peak of my worst, self is just not getting what self wants. And until I recognize that, it's a miserable existence. Programs don't work. Sobriety doesn't work. Serenity doesn't work. And all the sun shines.